Good morning. This is Trina Mara on Something for the Weekend. And parent mentor and psychologist Joyce McRedmond is back in studio with her wise words today. And we're talking about difficult teenagers. So many people are going through this right now that I know are listening and they need your help, Joyce. What is it? Is it something that literally just happens on their 13th birthday, like in that Kevin and Perry movie? They wake up and there's suddenly this horrible, moody teenager. Teenagers, I'm going to sound like an old dear saying this, I would not have dreamt of speaking to my parents the way I see some teenagers talking to their parents now. Is all respect gone?
Well, isn't that fantastic, you know, for the parent who never had a disrespectful word from their child until they were 13? I want to be them.
Yeah. How do you deal with it, though? You know, like, there's so many parents and they're literally pulling their hair out going, I don't know what to do. I actually don't know what to do. They've turned into a monster.
Look, I think there are a couple of things. One, you know, persistency and consistency. I've got to be consistent in how I am with my teenager. So I need to model the same kind of behaviour day in, day out. So I need to be consistent about it and I need to persist even when they're behaving badly. I think what tends to happen is, and you know, it's a throwback to the terrible twos, they're having a tantrum and we're thinking, oh my God, the world is falling apart. This is terrible. And we're in there with them. They're having a great day and we're thinking, oh, the day is good today. So as opposed to letting our teens or our twos lead the day for us, it's about us sort of thinking, all right, now hold on a second, back to me. This is how I actually like to interact with people. And I'm choosing how I am going to behave. I'm not following you down the path of how you're going to behave. So that's one thing. The other thing is to remember that people behave badly, not because they want to make life difficult for us, but because they want to show how difficult life is for them. When I'm on a day when I'm feeling a bit wired, I tell you, you want to sort of all stand back a little bit because my fuse is much shorter. Get me on a day when I'm totally chilled and I can talk to the cat, the king, the queen, anyone. Nothing will faze me. So we tend to behave badly when we're not feeling so good ourselves.
Mm. But what about teenagers who don't get their own way, for example? Say they want to go to, I don't know, there's a nightclub thing on this weekend and they just can't go. They've got things to do, it's busy life or whatever, or they want 50 quid for something and you don't have it. And next thing, all hell breaks loose in the house and they're calling you all the names under the sun and you're thinking to yourself, is that really my child? How do you handle that? What's the response? Does grounding or anything like that work anymore?
Not in my experience. Look, I think the first question is how come this teenager is behaving like that? Would I behave like that if I didn't think it was going to work? Or am I behaving like that because I think, try this before and it worked quite well, actually.
Mm.
I'd wear them down. So okay, I have four kids. I used to sometimes say to them, look, you're having a go and that's just one-on-one. I've got four of you here.
Yeah, that's not fair.
It gets a bit tiring. Again, it comes back to that thing about being consistent in your own behaviour. It's also about consequences. Now, there's no point in me as a parent knowing about the consequences of your behaviour. That's no good to you. You actually need to know about the consequences of your behaviour. So as our kids are coming to their teenage years and starting through our teenage years, it does us well to allow them to experience the results of what they do.
So nip it in the bud as quickly as you can, kind of thing.
Well, it's less about nipping it in the bud and more about letting them fail early and fail often.
Okay, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there's no point in them wasting their energy because you're not going to break down.
Yeah. Well, what's the point in me telling you you're going to be tired tomorrow and giving you a curfew and locking you into your room? You're never going to know whether you're going to feel tired tomorrow. So it's about allowing children to experience the fallout of their behaviour. You're not waiting until they're getting to 16 to let them experience it. So it's a bit like I was saying to somebody recently, you know, and they're talking about the amount of laundry going through the house. Most teenagers, when they're going out, there is only one outfit they want to wear. There's only one. They might have 10 things there, but there's only one they want to wear. So the whole thing about whether they do their laundry or not gets fairly quickly sorted when they're coming up to going out and they want that outfit. That'll be down in the machine faster than streak lightning. Then they understand that I need to do things for myself to be able to have the kind of things that I want to have or for things to go the way that I want.
Of course. And when you think about it, it's the kids that are quite easygoing and they don't give their parents trouble. they're the ones who are allowed to go on the nights out, because you go, oh, well, they're a good kid. But then the ones that are particularly cheeky or kind of don't really stick to the rules, they're the ones that you kind of, you're reluctant to give that freedom to.
Well, I suppose if we are very strict with our rules, if we hold our line really hard, which is different to being consistent, then it becomes a battle of wills. I'm saying that you're going to stay in. You're not allowed to go. Now it's actually got nothing to do with the teenager anymore. Now it's got to do with, I'm boss, you do as I say. And so somebody who is acting in an age-appropriate way will say, hold on a second, this is not a terrible twos tantrum. I am actually checking out what it's like to be a grown-up, you know, around here. And I'm going to start pushing back now. You've got to think, how are you going to allow this person to sort of broaden their wingspan and open into taking on more responsibility? The answer is, you got to give them more responsibility. And then if I am more easygoing in a consistent and persistent way, where I make it absolutely clear about what my expectations are, then you've got an opportunity to be very clear about what your expectations are. And we can have a discussion about it and come to some sort of an agreement.
Mm-hmm. When they tell you to F off, Joyce, how do you deal with that?
Oh, look, I'm so old fashioned. You know, it makes me want to cry, because I just think it just sounds so awful coming out of somebody's mouth, doesn't it? You know, it's one thing about the hearing of it, but you're looking at this person that you love, and they've got a contorted face with foul language coming out of it. You know, and you're thinking, you need to think more of yourself. Look, you're a fabulous person, you know? So it's about trying to convey to your child how fabulous you think they are. And most parents do think their kids are fabulous. But in the heat of the argument, when you're getting that stuff coming at you, it's very difficult. So it's to remember, it's not about me as a parent. It's about them as a child. If you can try and sort of hold on to this phrase, I'm not waving, I'm drowning. They've come to the end of their tether. However, if we're going to have a conversation, here are the things that I'm not open to responding to. And there's language that I'm not up for. So if you can speak to me in a way where we can be respectful of one another, then I'm open for a conversation. But actually, when you tell me to F off, I can't hear what comes after that. I'm already gone somewhere else. I'm gone to, how dare you speak to me like that? So I can't hear what you're saying. If you want me to hear what you're saying, please don't use that language.
Does taking their privileges away, like say the Wi-Fi code or the phone or whatever, these things, does that work?
I'd love if that worked. I'd love if it worked. And I think it is reasonable to have restrictions in a home around being on the internet, having your headphones on, whatever it is, whatever option that you're taking to sort of be elsewhere whilst physically being present. And we adults have to watch that ourselves as we're talking to our kids and flicking through our phones. So I'm not sure about the kind of, certainly you'll get their attention by saying, I'm turning off the Wi-Fi. I mean, in our house, it hasn't ever worked. I mean, one of the reasons it never works is because the Wi-Fi never seems to work when you turn it back on.
That's too much hassle for you.
Aside from anything else. So it's really coming back to trying to be very specific. What is the issue that you're having with the teenager? And then what is the boundary that you want to put down that relates to that behaviour?
You're very calm, Joyce. What about these fiery parents who they need to almost control themselves as well? What would you say? Count to 10, leave the room.
All right. There's a phrase I love, and it is, between a stimulus and a response, there's a pause. And in that pause lies our freedom.
Ooh, it's like they say, you know, when you're angry, never send an email at that moment.
Yeah.
Wait 10 minutes or so. Because you can't get it back.
You can't get it back. Now, can I just say, that's much easier said than done. So, you know you're making progress when you can feel your mouth wide open and you hear yourself shouting something that you never wanted to say. And the reason you know you're making progress is because you've noticed. Previously, you weren't even noticing that. That's the hardest part of being a parent, when you're saying, okay, actually, I'm hurting myself more than I'm hurting the other person here. So most parents who let rip at their kids, and I've been there, you get a release at the time. You then see the child, the teenager, either firing back or being wounded. And then, by golly, when the heat goes out of the situation and you're off on your own, there's no one can beat you up as much as you want to beat yourself.
Yeah, you feel terrible guilt, and all you want to do is just to be pals again.
All you want to do is be pals again. Now, you have to watch that. Mm-hmm. All right? When I feel guilty, guilty is spelled G-U-I-L-T. It's all about you. I'm sorry for what I did to you. Now, often it's because I didn't have my boundary in place and I let this thing get in too close to me. It got too much for me. I didn't leave in time enough. I didn't step away. So often when we feel guilt, it's because we need some G-I-L-T time. Mm. All right. We need to guild ourselves a little bit. We need to give some guilt time to ourselves. We're saying, I'm overstretched. I've too much on. I need to do something nice for me so that I am actually able to be more consistent.
Mm-hmm. There's some parents listening to this and they might feel that they're very much doing the parenting side of things by themselves. The partner isn't really playing a role. They're too laid back, or they're, you know, oh, they're busy with work and they leave it all to one person. It has to be both parents, really, doesn't it? If there are two parents there, it has to be both.
Coulda, shoulda, woulda, has to. They're all great. But in my experience, like, you can't control that. So what can you work with? You can only work with yourself. You can make a request, and it's really, really useful to learn how to make requests, to ask the other person to pitch in, to help. Be specific about what it is that you want them to do.
To back you up.
Well, it's about really saying, here's what I'm finding difficult. Here's why I'm finding it difficult. I'd love your support on that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about asking them to be a nodding donkey about, you know,
yeah,
I want it this way. And
but you know the way some teenagers say if mom says no, they go to dad. Because they're daddy's girl and he's a soft touch and he'll let them go and do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Where mom might be a bit tougher because she's there with them all the time.
Yeah. So, you know, in all relationships, there's always a bit of give and take, isn't there? And those who like to give for an easy life have to sometimes learn not to give so much. And those who hold the hard line have to learn how sometimes to say, actually, I don't want to be the one doing this all the time.
Okay.
So it's about the passive parent learning to speak up a bit more, and about the parent who's maybe being very strident in the situation, learning how to pull back a bit.
Okay. There is Joyce MacRedmond. She's so calm. I can't believe you ever had trouble with teenagers. Have you actually ever lost your temper?
Listen, when I lose my temper, you want to stay so
really?
Far back.
I'd know all about it, would I?
You would know all about it. So, you know, calm doesn't just come. Calm has to be learned too.
Okay, lovely. Thanks so much. There's Joyce MacRedmond. She's a parent mentor and psychologist. And you can get our details on Facebook if you want some more info. This is Something for the Weekend on Classic Hits.